Pacific Home. Phil Hendry.
Well, I think it's Kyle.
Oh, I was kidding around. Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. We're here till 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are your one-stop shopping place for all things that eventually just deconstruct talk radio. Whatever that means, it may not mean anything to you. It means a lot to me, or at one time it did, before I got under the influence of Glenn Beck and his weird theories. However, you said I was disgusting you, and so that kind of took my mind off of what I wanted to say.
Oh, it did, huh? I don't think you knew what it was you wanted to say.
No, you said you were disgusted by what?
I was disgusted by what you said about, what?
Talk about his teacher.
Oh, your high school English teacher. You know, Phil, that's a woman with a husband and children.
Whoa, hold on. How do you know?
Well, she was an English teacher, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming she was some kind... Well, then she was what, an old maid?
No, she could have been single and young. As it was, her name... Well, I won't tell you her name.
That was... Well...
Yeah, because I'm going to belt you if you say anything out of school, man, that I told you not to say. I'll say it, and of course I'm not going to say her name.
Well, you didn't have any sexual relations with her, did you?
No, I did not. Okay?
Well, Phil, then what's the problem with mentioning her name?
Because I'm just not going to embarrass her if she's still, you know, kicking around someplace.
Oh, man, kicking around like some old lady just... Yeah, what do you think she is? Like a hood ornament? Wow.
Hood ornament.
That was very cruel.
No, I had the hots for my English teacher. Dan and I were just talking because there's a story here. This is about as weird and as disgusting as they get, and they've been getting disgusting. Utah teacher and coach accused of object rape of 17-year-old student.
What's that mean?
You know what? You just have to listen. If you can't figure it out, that's your problem. Courtney Jarrell was placed in two positions of strong authority at Jordan, Utah, Riverton High School, teaching math and leading the sophomore team in the girls' basketball program. In a disturbing turn, it now appears that Jarrell used her authority to violate one of the very students she was charged with protecting. As reported by the Associated Press and a variety of other outlets, the Salt Lake Tribune among them, Jarrell was arrested on charges of object rape and felonious sexual abuse in connection with a disturbing sexual relationship she had with one of her 17-year-old female students. The Tribune reported that the object rape charge against Jarrell counts as a first-degree felony, while the sexual abuse charge is weighted as a second-degree felony. She's 22 years of age, her alleged victim, 17.
Oh, my God.
According to Jordan school district officials, Jarrell was suspended from a position with the school when allegations of the student affair first arose in March. Now, they don't mean student as in affair, as in love affair. They mean the affair as in an event. With the school board turning the case over to police, when more specific details of the relationship between the two arose, including the degree to which the two participated in sexual acts at the coach's house, the coach resigned permanently. We immediately looked into it, and within hours of the complaint, she was suspended, and everything was turned over to the Draper Police Department. So there you go, folks. Riverton student Catherine Orchard told the Salt Lake City TV network KSL, everybody loved her. My parents were even way shocked because my parents loved her too. They thought she was a great teacher. This is what happened. While these allegations about any teacher would stun their respective students, those who spoke up in the immediate aftermath of Jarrell's resignation remembered the teacher who was nearly universally beloved. Police clearly agreed, though, that Jarrell's attorney insisted the departure was mutual and that his client had left the school specifically to prepare to defend her name.
So what about your teacher?
Well, I'm not even going to try to. I'm not comparing that. This is a terrible story. But the thing that I wanted to bring up, more and more of these stories are happening. And the question I have to ask myself is, I didn't hear about this that much when I was a kid. And people will always say the following thing. When I was a kid, like say in the 60s, when I was in grade school and when I was in high school, and people will always say, well, it's happening more often. Well, you know, I don't personally believe that. I personally believe that it gets reported more often, that the means by which we can detect these things, the open channels of communications that we've established between students and administration, students and the police, parents and the police, has helped for these events to come out. I think we're looking for it, maybe, and not in a paranoid way, but I think we're just sort of got our eyes open a little bit more for our kids. Look, you know, folks, do you think that all of a sudden, one day, people were abducting children and killing them? I mean, it's been happening for centuries, and yet it was Albert Fish in New York who decided to take a little girl off into the country and murder her. That was the beginning of the don't go with strangers thing that parents would tell their kids. That man didn't steal that girl. That man went away with that little girl with the permission of her parents.
Your kid, this Albert Fish, the man that put pins in his crotch?
Yeah, this guy put pins in his crotch and stuck him up his butt and everything.
All right, bud. Yes. And he walked up to this door and he said, may I take your daughter to a birthday party? My nephew's having a birthday party and I think your daughter would really like to go to a birthday party. I just noticed that you have a daughter. And this woman did something that was entirely normal for those days. It was not unheard of. Believe me, folks, today we look back and we say, how crazy can you be? Well, if we all lived back then, we would have done the same thing.
Well, wait just a minute. No, I would not. I like to think of myself as a little bit more intelligent.
No, you may be intelligent, Margaret. You would have done the exact same thing.
How do you know I would?
Because you would have been a woman of that era. You wouldn't be a modern 21st century woman. You'd be a woman in the 1920s. And you could be the most intelligent woman on your block, and you would still think, oh, you know, that happens all the time. People let their kids go off to birthday parties all the time. That sounds like fun. Where is it? It's over in the next block. Oh, great. I can send my son to go get her when the party's over. That's what this Mrs. Budd decided to do. She never saw her daughter again. She never saw her daughter again. She didn't know what had happened to her daughter. And what happened to her daughter was just horrifying. So from that case, parents suddenly told their children, well, you know, don't go with any strangers. That suddenly became a newsflash. A stranger murdered this child. Don't go with anybody you don't know. That was the case. So, you know, folks, it's not like the stuff just magically started happening with that guy. It's that suddenly the awareness of it became prominent. So now we cut to this teacher sexually abusing a student. I'll bet you this stuff has been going on. When I was in school, I heard guys saying things about this student and that teacher and this student and that teacher, and it blew me away, but now I believe it.
Well, what has this got to do with your teacher?
Well, my teacher, the one I'm talking about, has got nothing to do with having an affair with you. Well, it's got nothing to do with this sexual abuse. It has to do with me checking out the ass on my English teacher.
What was his name?
I'm going to belt you. What was his name? It was a she.
I know. Anyway, what was his name?
Man, that's funny. What was his name?
Yeah, Her name, and I ain't going to tell you. But, you know, as all of this stuff is happening, you know, and I look back on my formative years in school, I'm like a lot of people, a lot of guys, that's for sure. I'm thinking, man, I wonder if Mrs. So-and-so, if only she would have...
Well, that was the part that offended me, because you went, man, what I wouldn't do, and you wiped your mouth with the back of your hand like some greasy cowhand.
Yeah?
It was offensive, because I've seen men...
You've seen men what?
I've seen men looking at me and doing that.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
What... Well, look at you. How offensive can you be?
Margaret, are you telling me that some guy has been staring at you, leaning against a fence post and wiping his mouth with the back of his hand?
Yes, on more than one occasion. You know something? Maybe you guys don't get it, but there are men out there that, well...
That ogle you?
I'm just telling you what happened.
So a guy's looking at you. What was he saying?
He was leaning... I can get Frank on the phone. He was leaning against the fence... And he wiped his mouth with the back of his hand, and he looked at me, and he went, what I wouldn't give.
Yeah, what he wouldn't give to...
Watch it, or I'll put my fist right through your head.
Now, I guess she means it, bud. What I wouldn't give what? Do you know what he was going to say?
No, I had no interest in what he was going to say. He wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. He said, what I wouldn't give. And then he showed me his hands, and both of the palms were sweating.
Yeah! Sure.
You're telling me I'm lying.
Well, what are you kidding me? Get Frank on the phone. This I gotta hear.
Go ahead.
All right.
This I gotta hear. This guy's palms were sweating, huh? We'll take a break. We'll be back with Frank Gray here on this this historic evening tonight, where Margaret's going to tell us all about some guy that was working on her. What was he doing?
He was a gardener. I don't know what he was doing. He was there at the house, either trimming the hedges or he was putting in a pool filter. I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, that's that stuff. Nevada lawmaker, a surprise announcement during a debate on whether they should repeal the ban on gay marriage in Nevada. And this senator, a state senator, as they were debating this late into the evening, State Senator Kelvin Atkinson, a Democrat from North Las Vegas, told his Senate colleagues he is gay. During discussion of a measure to repeal the state ban on gay marriage, one state senator told his stunned colleagues he's gay. The Nevada Senate voted 12-9 Monday night to begin the process of repealing the gay marriage ban from the state constitution. Supported by 11 Democrats and one Republican, the bill, Senate Joint Resolution 13, would amend the state constitution to remove a provision declaring that marriage is only between a man and a woman. The measure also includes wording guaranteeing that religious organizations do not have to perform same-sex marriages. Well, yeah, that makes sense. If your religion... I mean, it's kind of, see, that's a dicey area, you know.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're not saying that you're the one that makes the big speech about religions can't violate rights.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. You're right. I mean, I've often said that.
Got Father McCorder going to call up.
Father McCorder's has called up or did call up?
He's calling now because he called me early and said he didn't want you. Hello? Yeah, Father McCorder?
Put him on the air.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Tell him to get on the phone, man.
Get on the phone, but hold on. What? You're kidding. Yeah?
Give me that, will you, bud? Father McCorder's, you there?
Yes, I'm right here. I was just kidding, but I've got... what I had were the winning numbers, you know, on the raffle that we were giving away, the old turntable, because, bud, I think... Did you say, Bud, that you wanted to start your own mobile DJ business, right?
Yeah, I did want, God, with Chris Norton.
Hey, by the way, are we on the air? Because I don't see any kind of VU meter happening over here.
Will you listen to what's being said?
We are, because my VU meter doesn't work. All right, I'm sorry, Bud, what?
Just did I want to get a mobile DJ, and I want to win a raffle on a turntable.
Yes, we want a church raffle here. It's for the Technics turntables that were donated to us by Huggy Jones, you know, this jockey that... as a member of our parish.
Huggy Jones, yeah.
Yeah, he donated those Technic turntables, and I bought two tickets for Bud because he asked me to.
When's the raffle?
The raffle will be Sunday night, this coming Sunday night.
Well, good luck, Bud.
Thank you.
All right, so to talk about what it was you were talking about, and that is to marry openly a gay man. And I will tell you this before we start the discussion now, that I am... And I always have been a heterosexual, even though...
Now, what difference does that make, Father?
Even though, allow me to finish, even though I haven't had sex with a woman in many a day.
All right, so what point does it make, though?
The point is, I'm a heterosexual. The point is, I'm a heterosexual, and I want that stated clearly. I don't want it stated that because you're a priest, you're gay. You understand that?
I understand, yeah.
But I don't understand, Father. Why? What difference does it make whether you're gay or straight? You don't have sex.
I am straight. See, Margaret, what you're doing is...
No, what I'm doing is doesn't make any difference if we're talking about the debate on whether there should be gay marriage.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to say to you is before the discussion of gay marriage is openly discussed, I want to make it very clear that I'm straight, that I'm not gay... That I would have sex with a woman were I allowed to, but I'm not allowed because of the vows that I take of chastity.
Yes, did you have sex before you went into...
Now, hold on for a minute. Did you hear what I said?
Wait, Father, speak to me. Don't talk to Margaret.
Why can't he speak to me?
Well, what I'm saying is I'm the host of the show. What's your point?
My point is simply this. I am going to tell you, for the last time, I'm straight. You understand that?
Yes. What has that got to do with this?
I am opposed to gay marriage, and it's not because I'm closet. I'm, as you say, a hat box. And I heard Bud Dickman make that statement, too. And I also heard Robert say it, and I don't think it's funny at all.
Don't talk about a hat box.
I'm not a hat box.
What's a hat box? Oh, that, you mean deep in the closet?
Yes, deep in the closet. Way deep. Someone else called me a gun case, a hat box, and a shoehorn.
Well, those are all things that are very deep in the closet.
No, they're not. No, a shoehorn's right out front. A shoehorn is screaming to get out of the closet. I would say that if you're a shoehorn, you're screaming to get out of the closet.
What? A shoehorn? A shoehorn is something...
It goes in a shoe. Woo! You put me on, right?
Well, what? It doesn't matter. You're not gay. You're not in the closet.
No, and if I was in the closet, I'd be a shoehorn. I wouldn't be... Well, I don't know what I'd be, because I don't know whether or not I'd want to be... I don't know if I'd want to come out or not.
Well, and what is the fear of coming out?
Because I believe that gay marriage is against God's law, and it's based on Leviticus. It's based upon the laws of... I'm not going to get into the whole Bible thing. You understand where I'm coming from there.
I understand where you're coming from religiously. I get that, Father. I just don't understand where a religion dictates to the secular world, to civil law, dictates to, frankly, the Constitution of the United States.
Hold your horses there. There are two documents that I find sacred in this world. One of them is the Holy Bible, and the other is the Constitution of the United States of America.
This way, Father.
Right. Two documents that I find sacred.
And what if they were in conflict with each other?
That, I think, is the most horrific and terrible thing you could say about this wonderful country, that the Bible is in conflict with the Constitution.
I don't think it is. But apparently you do, because...
No, I didn't say that it was at all. I said that gay marriage is against the Constitution, and also I'm not gay.
Because you're making a big point about not being gay.
Because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm opposed to gay marriage because I'm a shoehorn, when in point of fact I may be a hatbox. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. What difference does it make?
Because if I were a hatbox, I'd be buried in the closet. And I would... If I were buried in the closet...
If you were buried in the closet, what would it matter what you thought?
Of course it matters what I think.
But what would you do if you was buried in a closet?
If I was buried in the closet...
You'd probably be against gay marriage, too.
Yes, I would be very much opposed to gay marriage.
All right, then what stops a guy from saying, Father McWhorter's just came out against gay marriage, he must be a hatbox?
I'm telling you right now, and if you say that again, I'm going to come right out... I'm going to come unglued. I'm going to come out of my smock. I'm telling you right now...
Father McWhorter's always...
Hold on for a minute, Robert. I'm talking to this one here that hosts the radio show. I'm telling you right now, I'm not a hatbox. I'm straight. I like women. I would like to have sex with women.
But that is against your vows.
Yes, it is against my vows, and so I won't have sex with women. But I'm so heterosexual that it drives me ape on a Friday night when I go home and all I've got is a bag of popcorn oil. There, I said it.
That, Father, it was not necessary. The point is that you say you're a heterosexual with such emphasis that it's almost as if we suspect you of being gay.
Yeah, see, I knew she'd say that.
Well, Father, can you
No, 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 no. I knew she'd say that. There's no winning here. I call myself a hat box. You think that I'm deep in the closet, I'm gay. I tell her I'm straight. You say, well, that's suspicious. Then I say I'm a shoehorn. I'm just ready to, right on the edge, to jump right out of the closet, and you say I'm fruitier than a fruit salad. So where does a man like me go? Where do I begin to find the truth in my life? And I can tell you that I have had in my day some lonely Friday nights.
Okay, so you're a heterosexual. Good for you. There's a lot of heterosexuals out there in the world opposed to gay marriage. You're just... One more.
I told you I wanted to make sure that at least that much was on the record.
Well, I don't like the idea of you alone on a Friday night with popcorn oil.
Well, I don't either. And
I mean, I don't like you talk... I'm losing my voice.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Well, I look at... If...
Hold on, Father. My colleagues here about WrestleMania, because I saw the last WrestleMania I ever saw was WrestleMania 5. Now, before you begin to think of me as even dumber than you think I am, wrestling, when I finally got into when I finally understood it, I began to enjoy it, and I really began to enjoy wrestling the way the formerly WWF, now WWE, presented it. It was big, and it was big arena stuff, and there was lots of lights and lots of smoke and a lot of fun. And so I used to watch at least the WrestleMania, and there was a show on TV that was just about the funniest damn thing. It was a show called WWF Raw, but in the middle of it, they had the Bobby the Brain Heenan show.
I saw that. That was the best show. Bobby the Brain Heenan with that little short guy?
Bobby the Brain Heenan, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, well, just, Margaret. Bobby the Brain Heenan was this little guy. I say little guy. He was a former wrestler. All these guys are former wrestlers, you know.
What about Gorilla Monsoon?
Gorilla Monsoon, yeah. With a name like that?
Well, you know, that doesn't mean... You think he was a wrestler?
With a name like Gorilla Monsoon, what do you think?
Well, maybe that was his nickname.
Yeah, that could have been his nickname, yeah. Or maybe he was a wrestler. Did you ever see Gorilla Monsoon? He looked like a formidable guy. I mean, he was a good guy. You know, he was the announcer, and he had his glasses, and he looked like a typical ring announcer. But I guess in the day, he was a wrestler. I don't know I don't know anything about him.
What about that other guy, Jesse the Body Ventura?
You never heard of him?
That guy became the governor of Minnesota, you jackball. That's the same guy?
Yes, that Fruit Loop. Jesse the Body Ventura with his flowered, whatever he did. And I remember at that WrestleMania, in fact, Gorilla Monsoon gave him some crap. He said, boy, the money you put into your wardrobe, and it was like he was wearing jeans and like a tank top. Anyway, I forget, but it was very, very exciting. And to me, watching this sport, and it's really an exhibition, I suddenly got it. I said, it's theater. And of course, this had been something that had occurred to a lot of smarter people than me many years before. But it just all of a sudden dawned on me. I watched wrestling as a kid. I mean, what kid didn't like it? I loved it. It was hard for me to believe as a kid that it was fake. When I was a kid, I really believed it was real. And when I was growing up, it was Bobo Brazil.
Who was Bobo Brazil?
Bobo Brazil was this big, tall dude, and he specialized in the headbutt. And he would butt a dude's head, man. I mean, he cracked some skulls, man. I'd see blood, so I don't know.
Well, they fake that. Don't they have fake blood?
No, they don't.
Well, they got a couple of tricks that they do. They have the concealed razor blades, things like that will break the skin. But in any event, there was also the Destroyer, and there was also Haystacks Calhoun. There's cats in that era. Now, none of those guys survived into the glory days, into the big, big-time days of the 80s. The 80s was, that was wrestling's, 80s and 90s was wrestling's heyday, man. And watching it, I thought it was very impressive. And then I realized, you know, this is theater. It's pretty damn good theater. I even came up with an idea for a wrestler.
You're kidding.
No, I wanted to have... El Presidente.
What's that one going to be?
El Presidente was going to be a president. He'd have a suit, you know, and he'd walk and there'd be Secret Service guys coming in front of him and Secret Service guys behind him, and he'd enter the ring.
And the President of the United States would strip down to briefs.
Well, you don't really know he's the president. It's just El Presidente. You never did say, I guess the guy would have to say,
Yeah, because the ring announcer is going to go, now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States or something. You could make up a country. You could say the President of Globovia, or I don't know.
Globovia, huh? Who's going to buy that?
Well, Margaret, it's wrestling, okay?
Oh, you're right. Those idiots.
Well, you don't look down your nose at it. I'm telling you right now. People get excited about it. They know it's phony baloney, but they like it anyway.
I disagree with you. I think that maybe you figured it out and you appreciate the theater. I think 90% of the knuckleheads that you see on television that are jumping up and down and their fat mothers and wives, yes, I think they all think it's real.
I don't.
Man, probably 50-50. No, you can't know that.
I don't. I just don't. I'm telling you. Because it's just too much has come out, you know. It is the day and age of the internet, after all. But, yeah, my idea was to have this guy, El Presidente, and he'd come down and, you know, you could play the national anthem of whatever the hell country it was. I mean, if he was the American president, nobody's going to buy it's the American president.
Why not?
Because the what are you kidding? The real American president's in Washington.
Yeah, it'd have to be a guy who's president of another country.
You'd probably have to make him a bad guy.
Well, then I suppose he'd be the president of some third world country. Isn't that how it's done?
No, not necessarily. But you'd have to make up a country. And anyway, he'd have Secret Service guys, and then he'd get up into the ring, and yeah, he'd strip off his suit, and he'd just have, like, black wrestling shorts or a black wrestling leotard or whatever the hell they call it.
That's what like a ballerina. You can't dress him up like that.
It's called, I don't know what it's called, man. It's a unitard or something.
Well,
listen, just don't bug me, you guys, because you're bugging me now. It that got nothing to do with retard. It's unitard, leotard. It's a piece of wrestling equipment.
Right.
So then he'd get up into the ring, see, and maybe he'd have a tattoo of a flag or I don't know.
And he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he'd be a bad guy. He'd be the president of some crap can. I guess you'd have to make him a dictator. Nah, that wouldn't work.
Well, I think it sounds good, but he'd have to be like a military dictatorship.
Yeah, make him like Hitler. Why can't you have Hitler?
Hitler would be too jacked up, man. People would, like, really be... Nah. You'd have a riot, you know.
Are you trying to tell me people would have a riot? Why? Because they think that's the real Hitler?
No, because they don't like the symbol. Symbols are very important to people. Symbols. I always try to tell people about symbols. You know, symbols, not the kind you hit in a drum kit. Symbols, as in... a wedding ring, that's a symbol. The picture that your little girl made in kindergarten that you hang on your office wall, that's a symbol. Is it great art? No, but it's a symbol of how much you love this child. If anybody were to take that picture down, you'd break their hands, wouldn't you?
Well,
you would. If anybody took your wedding ring from you, just a wedding ring, maybe it's not even the greatest wedding ring, but it represents something, you'd break that person in half. This is why symbols are powerful. You know, if somebody took a favorite tie that your child gave you for a present and they ripped it in half, you'd kill that person. So it's what a thing symbolizes. And that's why, you know, you get a guy named Hitler and you have him crawl into a wrestling ring, that cat, they'd tear him apart. Then you'd really have a wrestling match. It wouldn't be much of a wrestling match. It would be more like there's your lynching, Hitler.
Well, it would be an innocent man because he's playing the part of Hitler.
Yes, but he would be a stupid innocent man for ever thinking that he was going to walk down into a major arena dressed as Adolf Hitler in a major wrestling exhibition and think he was going to get away with just being the bad guy for the night.
Jeez!
You're trying to tell me they'd kill a guy like that?
I'm telling you that whoever runs the wrestling federations, whoever the hell it is that runs all that stuff, would say to that guy, no way. You are not going into the ring as Hitler. You're going to come out with some other kind of bad guy. It ain't going to happen, man. You come out dressed as Hitler, we will stop you and we'll turn you around and send you back to the locker room.
Well, the guy's big and bad.
Oh, will you guys get serious? Photo of cop. Listen to this. This is a hell of a great story. I may be saying something really shocking here, folks, but I actually like it when cops get good publicity. I told you once, I'm a corny, old-fashioned guy. I just am. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm just, you know, I like it. I like cops. I like soldiers. I like them when they do good things. I want the good guy to win. I've lived a long time on this planet, and I haven't changed at all. I've seen some bad stuff. I've been through some bad times. I've you know, I've felt my fair share of the slings and the arrows of outrageous fortune, and I still like good guys. And cops, in my opinion, for the most part, are the good guys. And here is a police officer in Brookline, John Bradley. And this was a photograph of him. And I'll show it to our listeners and to our viewers on Phil TV. You see this police officer? He's going up the driveway of a home, and he's got two big bottles of milk. Now, this photo of this officer carrying milk to a family that was locked down because of the Marathon bombing has created a buzz on the internet, and it's gone, as they say, viral. According to social media, the officer purchased and brought the milk to a family with young children who could not get to the store themselves because of the ongoing manhunt for the Boston bombing suspects on Friday. The family snapped a photo of the officer carrying the two jugs to the house and posted on Twitter. From there, the image spread across social networks, gaining attention rapidly as an act of kindness during a terrible crisis. By the end of the weekend, the Brookline Police Department's Twitter and Facebook accounts had identified this officer as John Bradley. So there he is. You see, it's hard to see a police officer like that and people that are constantly criticizing cops for whatever reason. You can't do it. You just can't do it because look at what he did. He delivers milk to a lockdown family. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Join us for our archive podcast. Join us for our daily podcast. Join us for our video cast. Join us for our webisodes. Join us for the Milwaukee Lions. Join us. Marry us. Love us.
Truth
be one with
is
us.
Our bitch. Well, the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, man. How is it that people within 2 weeks of this event are already convinced that these two guys that they said did this bombing didn't do it? And, of course, they're going to turn around and ask me, well, how do you know that he did? Oh, well, that's why they're having a trial. That's why they're having a trial. Well, then, you know, but you see, they're having a trial. Now, I personally believe that they did do it, and I can give you my reasons. And they're concrete, they're black and white, they're photographed, they're recorded, they are from the mouths of one of the accused, the other being dead. So I've got a nice little treasure trove of reasons why I think they did do it. Now, you, if you don't believe they did, like there are people who, quote, don't believe they did, here's somebody, get a load of this, man. This is the kind of thing. And I'm always reminded, people always tell me, you know, Phil, just relax because this is America and people have the right to think and this and that and everything else. Anita Tenesheva, the user who launched this petition for change.org, change what? Change to, let's change into being a little dumber. What do you think? It'd just be kind of a kick, man. It's change. Change.org petition to guarantee Jokhar Tsarnaev, the right to a fair trial addressed to Barack Obama. Well, dig it. That's what every American and everybody who is tried in U.S. courts is guaranteed, a fair trial. So we don't need a petition to remind us of that. You may be thinking of some, like, other era in the history of the world, maybe another country, maybe America back in the 20s or something. You can't possibly be thinking about this country now. We believe that within the chaos caused by the Boston Marathon explosion, two young men were wrongfully accused of something they did not do, and one of them has lost his life before even getting the opportunity of a proper trial, Anita Tenesheva, the user who launched the petition, wrote. A cop's dead. Another police officer was seriously wounded. Okay. These guys had explosives. They had guns. And one of them said, yes. Yes, we did it. We self-radicalized. We didn't like the U.S. involvement in Iraq and in Afghanistan. But in your mind, Ms. Tenesheva, you know,
you're getting too heavy here, Phil.
Yeah, you said you weren't going to do no politics.
This stuff pisses me off.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it away, man.
Let me just read this. Boston bombing suspect charged at hospital bedside. So anyway, we do not wish to see the blood of yet another innocent victim, someone who by U.S. law is innocent until proven guilty. It is vital to end this persecution, as all the conflicting information shown by the media and footage from the incident seen by people from all corners of the world doesn't manifest itself as enough evidence to condemn Tsarnaev. Why do you think he's innocent, lady? Oh, God, man. Are we going to have to go through this?
People have a right to their opinion.
Oh, they got a right. A guy said once that you may have a right to your opinion, but you don't have a right to have it respected. You don't have a right for people to agree with it. You don't have a right for everyone to fall on their knees and go, oh, my goodness gracious, aren't you just marvelous? You have a right to your opinion, but what you don't have a right to is everybody just falling down en masse and worshiping the ground you walk on because you're so freaking brilliant. You don't have a right not to have people laugh at your ass. You know, you have a right to your opinion, but it doesn't mean that you have a right to walk down the street and someone says, there's that knucklehead that says the boogeyman and Martians caused it. Ha, 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 ha. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. All right, so thank you very much for that, and we really appreciate it. Now, moving on.
Yes, let's talk about Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, the fact that Ozzy's back on it. I'm Margaret Gray. Ozzy Osbourne...
Give me that. Ozzy's back on it.
Yes, he's back on the pills. Yeah, they said he's back on the pills.
Osbourne addressed recent rumors that her family problems, of her family problems on Tuesday's edition of The Talk, the CBS chat show that she co-hosts. Sharon Osbourne says she and husband Ozzy are not splitting. She simply drove Ozzy back to pills and alcohol to give her something exciting to talk about on the show. She's devastated by their struggles, but she likes the fact that the ratings are up on the show.
Let me see that.
I'm just kidding around. I'm kidding.
You can get sued for that.
No, I can't. Hey, there you go. There's a conspiracy you got to think about. Did Sharon Osbourne drive Ozzy back to the pills and the booze in order to pump the ratings for her show? Why don't you start investigating that? That's one that is worthy of investigation. It'll probably come to the same conclusion that this other, you know, it's crap. But at least you won't do that much damage. She says she's devastated by their struggles. She added the couple has dealt with worse before. So apparently Ozzy fell off the wagon, and he has had a year and a half long relapse into prescription drug and alcohol abuse, which he made public in an apologetic Facebook post last week. If nobody knew about it...
Well, what do you mean if nobody knew about it? He's got to tell his fans that he's back on it.
What do you mean he's back on it?
You know what I mean.
Uh-uh.
Well, I'm not gonna...
Well, what do you mean, it?
You talking about, like, heroin?
No, he's just back on... He's back on the Sneaky Pete.
The Sneaky Pete. So he's back using drugs, and he's back boozing. So?
So he goes and he apologizes to everyone on Facebook, and they suddenly go, oh, Ozzy, I didn't know that you'd fallen off the wagon. Thank you for telling us. And now we can hate you and talk about you, and Sharon will be embarrassed and mortified before the eyes of the world. And I don't think it's fair.
Oh, she's not mortified and embarrassed. Sharon, listen to what she said. She said, we've been through worse. This too shall pass, she said.
That is a biblical phrase that I...
That's not... Is it a biblical phrase? Ozzy Osbourne was a founding member of heavy metal pioneers Black Sabbath, to use your pronunciation guide, Margaret, but he left the group in 1979. The 64-year-old has since rejoined, and the band's new studio album is out in June. Now, I think he got fired from Black Sabbath.
Yes, he was fired from Black Sabbath, and he was holed up in some dump down on Melrose. And apparently they were looking for him, or he owed money to somebody.
Well, what it was he owed money to his manager, and his manager happened to be the father of Sharon Osbourne. And Sharon was delegated by her dad to go down to wherever it was that Ozzy was staying and collect this money from him. And she said, and I hope I'm getting the story right. If I'm not, then you can report that directly to the Osbournes. No, I think I've got it pretty much.
Wait a minute. He was staying where?
He was staying at a motel on Melrose. Is it Avenue or Boulevard? Melrose Boulevard? Melrose Avenue. He was staying at a motel.
Yeah, but which one?
What does it matter which one?
Well, I mean,
If it was a famous one, they might want you to tell them about it, and they would be able to use the publicity.
What the hell just happened to you, man?
Yeah, it's not like you put your finger in a light socket.
I'm just trying to spit it out.
Okay, it was a Motel 6. Does that make you feel better?
Well, you better not say that.
Why?
Well, they're not going to want people knowing that Ozzy Osbourne was stinking it up.
Why wouldn't they? What are you talking about? I think he was actually at the Tropicana, the old Tropicana down there. Isn't that where Tom Waits used to live and they had mud wrestling and stuff?
I don't know. What are you looking at? Like, I know the answer to that.
Well, there was a very famous motel on Melrose where there was a lot of mud wrestling and jazz like that. Anyway, Ozzy Osbourne's down there. Sharon knocks on the door. He answers the door, and she said that when she met him, he was immediately very charming, and he was very full of humor, and he was not anywhere near the wastrel sort of degenerate that she was expecting, and he was not, a thief. He was going to pay back her father, and she decided then and there to take over his career, managing his career and helping him back on his feet, and that's exactly what she did do. And as you know, I think about a year or two later, he came out with Blizzard of Oz with Crazy Train and Shot in the Dark and all those great songs. And the rest is...
And the rest is him back on it.
Is history. World famous, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.